Blog Talk Radio.
A licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, July 5th. And I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear that's flying off the shelves, like hats, t-shirts, keychains, mouse pads, and coffee mugs, and we hope later today we'll have all the information up there regarding our new chicken coop contest for July and August, sponsored by MyPetChicken.com. You'll be able to nominate a local school, public or private, to win a brand new $350 chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com and The Chicken Whisperer. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk about backyard poultry and living a self-sustaining lifestyle. Also want to remind you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by ManaPro.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at MountHealthy.com. That's MTHealthy.com or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We hope you had a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend with family and friends. I know I had a blast over the last 7 days, and I'm sure my wonderful co-host and poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman, did too. Pat, welcome back to the show. So glad you're here.
Oh, thanks, Whisper. Yes, it was a fabulous 4th. I think this is one of the most fun 4th of Julys I've had in a long, long time, and I'm not quite sure why, but everyone was just in such a wonderful mood, and all the junk food down there on the Virginia Military Institute, they have the parade ground is what they use for the balloon takeoff. So it was colorful, it was upbeat, everyone seemed like they're in a good mood. But it's good to get back into the routine, I must admit. So what did you do? Anything special magic moments that stood out over the weekend?
Well, we had an absolutely fun weekend. We left Wednesday and headed up to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and had a wonderful evening with our friends Christine and Fritz Duncan and their kids, my number one fans, Brighton and Laura Duncan, and we had a great time. They fixed us a wonderful homemade dinner Wednesday night. Thursday, we had the big event at the Sonic, which got great news coverage from CBS Channel 12 there in Chattanooga. That was a really fun show and a fun time. And then we had a great long weekend in Chattanooga with our wonderful friends up there. Just had an absolutely fun time. Came back here, and then we went out to a wonderful place here in North Atlanta called Matilda's, and we listened to some good old country and bluegrass music and saw the fireworks here in the city of Alpharetta with some other great friends. So it was Jen's family was in town, so Sunday we got to spend some time with them, and Saturday night. So it was just a fun-filled weekend with family and friends. So we really, really had a good time.
That's good. Have you noticed that some of the fireworks are becoming more sophisticated? I mean, at least here they had these bizarre patterns. They would have rings within rings and little almost symbols kind of things. They're just the science behind that must be so astonishing. But they're beautiful.
We've got some that they have the outer ring, and then they'll have a heart shape in the center of the round ring. So yeah, it's definitely getting more and more high tech, as you say. So very, very cool. So we had a great weekend. I know you did too, which is great. I hope all our listeners had a great weekend with family and friends. And if you missed the show Thursday, I invite you to go and listen. Let me just very quickly, because we have a great show lined up for you today, with, of course, today being the first Monday of the month. It is the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley, and today we're talking all about alternative fuels for heating and cooking and how to store them. And so our first show last month was all about water purification, and so today we're continuing that. So the first and third Mondays is the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley, an expert in his field, and that's what we'll be getting to very, very shortly. I just want to very quickly go through the announcements we did on Thursday, which are, I think, pretty awesome. number one, and we're going to have them on, I think, later in the week or in the next 2 weeks, our new partnership and sponsorship with ManaPro. And so we're really, really excited about that. We're very proud to bring ManaPro on to as a radio show partner and sponsor. So we made that announcement. Jen and I are going to be releasing a Chicken Whisperer calendar for 2011. We hope to have that completed and ready for purchase the end of October, maybe into November, so everybody can get those for Christmas gifts for all their friends and family and chicken lovers out there. So we've got the calendar. We announced a Chicken Whisperer scholarship, which is going to start at $500 and go up, and we're going to try to do that every single year. We may split it up and do it twice a year, because I know a lot of people start school in the middle of the year, but we'll see how that pans out as we write that scholarship. But we've got that in a minimum starting at $500 for a scholarship to a student. So we're writing the requirements for that. Obviously, a student that excels in urban agriculture, sustainability, still writing that out for that. We started, which actually started the first, we got to get it up on our website, a brand new chicken coop contest. We gave away the chicken coop in May. We gave one away in June. Now we're going to give one away in probably August. It'll last all of June and probably the first couple of weeks in August until school starts back. But all of our listeners, all of our fans will be able to nominate a school of their choice, public or private school, to receive this brand new $350 chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com and the Chicken Whisperer radio show. And it's a school that has already been showing and excelling in recycling, sustainability, raised beds, providing some of their own vegetables for their cafeteria, all kinds of great attributes there. So we're going to get all the information there on our website as well. It's just, with the holiday weekend running a little bit behind, but we're going to try to work really, really hard all day today and get all that stuff caught up for us. I'm trying to think what else kind of great announcements that we had. Peter Brown, known as the Chicken Doctor with First State Vet Supply, he's going to be I've been holding off on that, but he's going to be joining us the second and fourth Wednesday of every month, answering your questions and talking about topics regarding chicken health. So, man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about our new fall schedule, which really we're kind of starting in July. But just like with TV, we have a tremendous fall schedule. I think every day of programming except for two right now are booked with wonderful regular scheduled guests. So we've got some great things going on. Also, real quick, I just want to read this to you. I really urge everybody to join us on Facebook. It's the most updated site regarding the radio show, Chickens in the News, events, press releases, the whole nine yards, anything you ever want to know about backyard poultry. And what's going on current all over the world. And last night, I didn't post it last night because I figured no one would see it, and then you know how Facebook works. You sign on the next day, and it may be on the, So I waited and posted it this morning, and already we've had several comments, and it's a very long story. So I'm just going to read just a little bit about it so we can get on to our show today. But here's the title. Again, just go to facebook.com/ The Chicken Whisperer. Again, that's facebook.com/ The Chicken Whisperer. Join up, and we'll get all kinds of great chickens in the news and announcements. But this comes to us from the Salt Lake City Tribune, Utah News, and the title of the story is Utah Study Points to Arsenic in Backyard Chickens. And yep, that's the total. You heard me right. Utah Study Points to Arsenic in backyard chickens. Now, we're no stranger to this because over the last few months, we have posted, oh, by the way, the webcam is up. If you're in the chat room, just click on that little webcam icon next to my name, Chicken Whisperer, and the webcam should pop up, and you can see me yapping in the microphone. I haven't shaved today, so I've got a little stubble going on, but I wave to everybody who's already watching the webcam live. But we're no stranger to this news article. Most of the time, it's about an additive they add to poultry feeds in the commercial sector that isn't arsenic. And I'm just going to read this first. It's about four pages long, folks, and it's a really interesting article. After you read it, post your comments on our Facebook page. I'm not really convinced that it's the food. But let me just read this, kind of get you an idea, and then you can go to our Facebook read story and the Facebook page and read the whole thing. Christina McNaughton wasn't sure where to begin looking when worrisome levels of arsenic turned up in two Utah County children last summer. The family's water isn't contaminated, not the soil either. The trail eventually led to McNaughton, a toxicologist for the Utah Department of Health, to the family's backyard chicken coop, along with the eggs that came out of it, the feed that went into the hens that laid them, and finally, widely used animal feed additives containing arsenic. For everyone who has backyard chickens, said McNaughton, this is an issue. But the Utah study goes far beyond a Mableton chicken coop. The use of, let me see if I can pronounce this, Roxazone and other arsenic-based additives in poultry and swine feed is at the center of a national controversy. Well, we've been posting that for several months now. Because we've turned a blind eye to what we put in our animal feed, we're putting our children at risk, said David Wagner, director of the Minneapolis-based Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, an organization that is petitioning the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to ban the arsenic additives. The two children in the study are poster children for that. The Institute, which filed its ban request in December with the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Food Safety, argues that Americans are exposed to many potential sources of arsenic, a carcinogen. Why, it asked, does the United States allow arsenic to be added to the food supply when it's not necessary? While the Utah Health Department has no position on the petition, it does stand by its findings, the first of their kind, that arsenic from feed is winding up in eggs and the people who eat them. And I'm going to stop right there because we have a great show lined up. Get your pen and paper ready. But Utah study points to arsenic in backyard chickens. Along with everything else I've got to do today and tomorrow, I will be following this story. I'm going to try to contact the people mentioned in the story. I'm going to try to have them on the radio show. Go and read the story and see if you're convinced that it's coming from the eggs or the feed that was used to feed the chickens in the backyard. I don't know if they really, presented reasonable doubt even in this story, just from what I read and how I read it. But everybody reads things a little differently. So I encourage everybody to go to my Facebook page. It's also posted on our Twitter page. And read this, and then sound off and see if you're convinced based on what this says, if it's strictly from the eggs and from the feed that they got from apparently a co-op. I don't think it was a national brand feed. I also forwarded this to our brand-new sponsors, ManaPro, to the PhD of nutrition there to get his 2 cents worth. Today is a holiday, folks. I think today is the official day that all the federal agencies, the banks, everybody else, the mailmen, the garbage men, everybody actually take today off as the official 4th of July holiday. So I'm glad you're joining us if you happen to be off work today. So I'm not sure who I'll be able to contact today, but I'm on this. I'm on it like a fly on poop, and I will be following this and trying to contact people and get to the bottom line and see anything else that we can get regarding this study. I'm not 100% sold on it based on what I read. So, Pat, I know you and I have talked about this. We've covered stories about this arsenic in the chicken food before and about how some people are trying to get it banned because it's banned in Europe. They don't even use it, and their poultry is fine. Why do we need to add this if it's not doing anything? So we are on this story and trying to get the answers, maybe get some folks on the radio show to talk about this, because this is the first time the arsenic, the additives in poultry feed has become in a backyard chicken story. And so I don't know if they threw this. Well, read the story and make up your 2 cents worth. So interesting story, Pat, to start the week off.
Wow, that's great. And you know, Whisper, I've talked with Dr. Lonnie Luther. He's the feeds guy at the Food and Drug Administration, and he said he'd be willing to come on and talk about arsenic. So I'll give him a call and forward him the link about this new backyard arsenic article and just see what he has to say about it. I'm not sure. He doesn't want to get into a debate, but he certainly knows all the different salts of arsenic and why some are more toxic than others and that sort of thing. So this is serious. I mean, and of course, from the commercial flocks, it's showing up in the fields, in the growing fields. So I don't know why we use it either. It doesn't seem right, but yeah. Well, great. Let's follow this one. This is the next one. Excellent example of, I think, what not to do, just so you can have a little bit more production at the cost of the environment.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's even a case anymore. But interesting article. It's quite long, but well worth the read. Just go to facebook.com/the Chicken Whisperer, and it'll pop up. You can become a fan and read that article right there on our Facebook page. So pretty good. Let me get over here to the switchboard because I want to get to our special guest today. Also want to remind you of a brand new show coming up this Wednesday, The Living Garden with Jane Jensen. That's starting in July, too, a part of our brand new fall programming. And so the first and third Wednesdays of every month will be The Living Garden with Jane Jensen. And she's going to be, it's year-round gardening. So this is a year-round show. She's going to tell us all about productive gardening, winter, spring, summer, and fall, when to change out things, when to grow things, how to grow, fertilize. It's going to be an amazing show. She's an expert also in her field, and I'm really looking forward to that. So you're not going to want to miss the show this Wednesday, The Living Garden with Jane Jensen. All righty, we are ready to go. I'm going to go ahead and get to the switchboard and bring on Aaron Mackley, our host today, for the preparedness show. And today, if you missed last month's show, we talked about water purification, even using solar to purify our water in 2-liter bottles. Amazing information. You can go back and listen to the archive there. But today we're talking about our alternative fuels for cooking and heating, and basically how to store those. And if you live on the Gulf Coast, these shows on Monday and the first and third Mondays may interest you very, very much with what's going on down there. So, Aaron, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Hope you had a great Fourth.
Well, actually, we did. Thanks, Andy, for bringing me on. It's we're looking forward to this show. Water is one of my things that I really like to talk about, which was last month, but this month, alternative fuels, because it seems like those two principles are probably the two most important concepts of being prepared, having water, number one, and, of course, staying warm. Food, we think, is the highest priority, but it's really not. It's much lower on the survival and comfort level, although it's certainly not something we want to throw away or not worry about. But as far as survival, the water, and then, of course, keeping warm and for alternative fuel is the second. So I'm looking forward to talking about this week.
We are, too.
Well, let me just kind of get started with, first of all, let me introduce where you can get a little bit more information from that we have prepared for you. On our main website, and my main website is called Pazumpa, P-A-Z-U-M-P-A, and that came from just kind of a family nickname for my little daughter when she was born. We call her my little Pazumpa. Well, anyway, so that's our website, pazumpa.com, and then there's a link up there that says video segments or something like that, or you can just go to /video, pazumpa.com/video. And there is a segment up there, a video series called Alternative Fuels. There's actually 6 in that series, and anyone can get to them. It's not a membership or anything like that. And you can get a lot more information than what I'm going to be able to cover in 30 minutes because there's just a lot of really good information about fuel. But let's just jump right in if we can. First of all, the main thing that I want people to understand is that you can, I don't care where you live. I don't care if you're living in an apartment or live in the backwoods somewhere with, you know, acres and acres of wood. You can get alternative fuel. And for cooking and heating, the most important thing that you need to remember is, well, there's 2 things. Number one is safety. I'll come back and talk about that. But the principle is that you can store fuel. And fuel can be used for 2 different things. Well, actually 3 different things. Heating, lighting, and for cooking. And sometimes those are, you can use them for the same thing, same fuel for the same thing. But the critical thing is that you have to look at your personal situation and say, okay, how much space do I have to store? And even people, almost anyone, can store a year's supply of fuel for a minimal amount of cooking for the day and for basic heating. And you can get by on, you can get a year's supply of fuel stored. And I'm going to tell you a few things to show you how to do that. In such a reduced area that you probably didn't realize you can do that. So I'm going to go through some of the principles on how to do that very quickly. Number one, And then the next thing I want to talk about before I get into that is safety. When we're talking about combustion, burning fuel, any fuel, I don't care what it is, burning requires oxygen. It's one of the three elements, heat, oxygen, and the fuel itself, okay? You have to have those three things or you don't have fire, okay? So when you're burning or combusting something, it will consume oxygen. So no matter where you're at or no matter where you, if you're indoors, outdoors, it will consume oxygen. So you need to have air ventilation, period. The second thing you need to know is what is that particular fuel giving off? Some things, such as alcohol, just gives off water vapor. It's safe. You can use it indoors without a concern as long as you have fresh air coming in. But other things give off carbon dioxide, and some other things give off carbon monoxide in copious amounts. And for example, charcoal for like your barbecue charcoal briquettes, you just never use those indoors. They give off copious amounts of carbon monoxide. They must be used outdoors, or you will suffocate. It'll kill you. And the videos that we have up on there, I think, like I said, there's six of those videos on pazumpa.com/video, and just look for the alternative fuels video series up there, and you can watch a lot more about that. And they will talk more about the safety of each type of fuel. But the whole purpose that I want to talk about today is getting people to realize that there are a variety of ways to store fuel and to use fuel that are efficient, that you can, the key is you've got to get a fuel, use your fuel in the most efficient ways. I can, for example, last week we talked about water purification. I could boil water all day, and that is definitely the best way to purify water, but it takes fuel. And if you're in a limited fuel environment, then that is not the best way because it will consume all of your fuel just for getting your water. That's why we talked about these other methods of purifying your water. But there are ways to cook entire meals with a 2x4 piece of wood or about that much wood, which is about 8 ounces of wood. That is about 8 inches, maybe 12 inches long. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
It is, and a lot of people don't realize you can do that. And so I want to talk briefly about that, and we're going to – well, let me first explain or just mention some of the most efficient forms of fuel that I like for storage. Number one, I like propane. Propane, in the basic or short version of this training, propane I'd consider to be a short-term fuel, not a long-term fuel. For two reasons. Number one, propane has to be, it's a pressurized fuel, and you can only store certain amounts. Now, you might have one of the big propane tanks that, you know, if you heat with propane in your home on a regular basis, but in order to use that propane, you have to have an adapter, and they're $300,000, somewhere between $300 and $1,000, depending on if it's installed, if you have to install it. Where you get it, they're expensive little devices, and if you don't, you have to install them correctly, and so you might want to have a professional do that. So propane is very, very versatile. There's so many tools on the market, gas stoves, lanterns, everything. Propane is very versatile, but because you, in an emergency situation, you'll have trouble getting it, I consider it a short-term fuel, not a long-term fuel, but it's very versatile. For the short-term purposes. And, you know, maybe a 21-pound, I think they call it a 21-pound tank or 20-pound tank, about 5 gallons, you're familiar with those, barbecue-sized grills. You can have one or two of those, you know, and that's a lot of fuel for quite a while. The next one I like is kerosene. Now, a lot of people in the U.S. are afraid of kerosene. I'm not afraid of it. I spent 2 years of my life in Japan, in the northern island Hokkaido in Japan. Everybody uses kerosene up there. They know that it gives off carbon dioxide, not carbon monoxide. Well, let me explain. Anything that doesn't burn completely will give off carbon monoxide. It's just in much, much smaller amounts. So you want an efficient, you want things to burn completely, otherwise they will give off carbon monoxide. But carbon, it gives off generally carbon dioxide, and so you do need to have ventilation, but you can use them indoors. There's two different types of kerosene stoves that I like that can be used to cook on the top or to or for heating or both at the same time. It's not really a good source for lighting very, very much, but it is very good for cooking. It's efficient for cooking. As a matter of fact, it is probably the most efficient fuel in burning. It burns actually quite, it does give off an odor that a lot of people don't like, and the key is starting and extinguishing a stove outdoors. And then when it's lit, you can bring those in. And, of course, depending on how far you have to haul it, may not necessarily be an effective tool for you. But that will get rid of, especially extinguishing, because it'll kind of go poof, and all that smell will just filter throughout your entire house. So that's the one disadvantage. But once it's burning, and you have a clean burning stove, you can get kerosene stoves at, you know, the big box stores, Walmart, or in certain times of the season in cold environments. Home Depot carries them. There's a number of places that you can get those big ones. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. The third one that I like, and I'm combining two of them into one, is wood and charcoal. Wood and charcoal are excellent. Now, charcoal gives off carbon monoxide, very, very dangerous. And I speak from a personal my sister died from carbon monoxide poisoning. It is very, very dangerous, and you don't know it. We should have carbon monoxide, alerts in our homes if we're using any of that. It's just a deadly gas. You don't know it. You don't breathe it, or you don't smell it. You don't know. You just kind of get sleepy and go to sleep and don't wake up. So that's carbon monoxide. So that anything that's giving off carbon monoxide, you need to use outdoors always. But wood and coal, and I'm going to come back, charcoal, are very good forms. I'm going to come back and talk about those a little bit more. I consider them very long-term fuels. I talked to you about a 12 inches of a log, or I'm sorry, 12 inches of a 2x4 can cook a meal. I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a minute. And so thinking in those terms, if I needed to store a year's supply for cooking, for food purposes, and I could do it with a 1 foot of a 2x4, and I needed to cook one meal every day for a year, that's 365 board feet. Well, that's really not a very large pile. If you have a garage and you can store 12 foot segments of, that's 12, and how many do I need out of that 360? It's like 20 or something. I don't know. Anyway, you can do the math, but it's not a large pile of wood that, you know, sticking up in the rafters or something like that. You can actually do that, and a lot of people that I know do that, and so we'll come back and talk about that. Charcoal, a 55-gallon drum of charcoal, if you learn how to cook it efficiently, can last you a year. So it doesn't take that much space to store a year's supply of charcoal to cook outdoors, and I'm going to talk about some of the tools. The last one that I'm going to talk about is alcohol. A lot of people don't know that there are a number of good alcohol-burning stoves that burn very, very efficiently and can be used indoors because they give off water vapor. And no, there's not carbon dioxide. They do consume oxygen, so anything consumes oxygen, so you have to have a little bit of airflow. Ventilation so that you can get new fresh oxygen in. And when I talk about open a window, a small crack in a window, a half inch, will bring in far more oxygen than is being consumed. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, but then it's going to be cold, making my home cold and stuff like that. there's a little bit of trade-off, and you have to look about where the, you know, which window you're opening, so you don't get a draft. You just get a slight ventilation. But you can do that. And if you have a large home that is a bit drafty, my home is an old, very, very old home, and it's drafty. I don't open windows because I have plenty of oxygen flowing through my house from the draft. That's our biggest problem in heating our home. But I have taken a kerosene stove and tested and said, okay, I want to live for a month in the middle of an Idaho winter, I'm in southeast Idaho, but it gets very, very cold. I think this was in January or February, so it was the coldest month. And we heated our home with a kerosene stove, a 23,000 BTU. That's one of those round ones that you see, kind of looks like a big pipe with the grill around it. You can see those on the website in the videos. 23,000 BTU, and it would keep our home adequately warm. I could use a small fan. Now, I was using electricity to push the fan, okay? So if you don't have that electricity, it'll move a little bit smaller area. But we could generally keep our house enough warm that we could live in it, okay, with a 23,000 BTU stove. They also make, I think they're either 10 or 12,000 BTUs. Those are more rectangular shape kerosene stove. So I do like kerosene stove as an emergency fuel. In the United States, they talk a lot about how the soot and everything. Yes, there will be a little bit more soot, but people have used them for generations, and for an emergency fuel, it's in my house. And you can store kerosene. Now, you have to go to your city or county zoning and planning and zoning, I think, to ask them what can be used, how much fuel can be used. In counties, oftentimes you can store a 55-gallon drum of kerosene fuel, and they don't have any problem with that. In some city regions, they may restrict you to maybe 5 gallons. So you might have to store some of the other things. I don't know of very many counties or cities that restrict how many briquettes you need to use. Okay?
Hey, Aaron.
So, yes.
We got a question in the chat room. How long will kerosene last, say, if stored in a 55-gallon drum or in 5-gallon containers? Does it lose flammability over time as far as kerosene is concerned?
That is a very good question. Here's what, in my experience, I have stored kerosene for 5 years in sealed containers, and it will lose there when it's exposed to oxygen, I believe, and I don't remember the exact science. I'd have to go. It's on my website somewhere. It will break down, and it includes a little bit more water in the actual kerosene, so it won't burn as effectively, but it will still burn. It will still burn, and it will still cook. New kerosene is a little bit better, but if you can get them in sealed containers, you get these, generally they'll come in 5-gallon buckets, and if they're stored sealed, they'll be pretty good. And I've talked to people who have burned kerosene in their homes for years, and they say, yeah, I've opened up 5-gallon containers of kerosene, and they burn just fine. But they will have a little bit more water content to them if they are not in sealed containers. But it is a good question. And new kerosene is better than older kerosene. It will burn cleaner. And so that's something. So what I try to do is I keep a number of gallons of kerosene in my home, not in my home, but like in my garage or down in my storage area that's away from my garage. I prefer to keep it cooler. You don't want it in a really hot environment, but it's not going to destroy anything. And the same question is appropriate for both charcoal and alcohol. Alcohol, you want the highest content of alcohol you can get. Now, you can go to any major store, Walmart or Shopko or your grocery stores, brand, and you can get the 71% rubbing alcohol or whatever they call that. That is not as good. You can get other forms of alcohol, and there's a number of different forms. Again, in the video, it talks about the different forms, so I won't go through all of those. There's a number of different forms of alcohol that you can get, but just for a small amount, you can still get those at the stores. Two different forms that you can get that are easily you can easily get is the 91% alcohol. They will come in the red label, whereas the 90% alcohol is the red label, and a 71% alcohol, which is what most people buy, is in the blue label, in the little, you know, little white bottles of alcohol, about a pint, or you might get it in a quart. You want to try to get the highest percentage of alcohol that you can get. Now, another form is, I believe they call it methanol. That's an additive for fuel. Those can be used. That's like 97% alcohol, and that also works very well. Now, the thing is, you need to know where am I going to burn these? And again, the videos have a number of different tools that you can use, but I want to talk about two or three of the tools, very simple ones that you can make, and you can cook a meal, okay? Try to envision this in your head. Again, it's on one of the videos, but if you're not able to get to that video, you can take a clean one-quart paint can. You can get a new one from a paint store. What do they cost? 50, 60 cents or something like that, maybe less. Then you take a roll of toilet paper, unscented is best, and you kind of squeeze it and push it down inside of that one-quart paint can. Now, the one-quart paint can comes with those little lids, you know, flat lids that seal over the top. You've seen a paint can, okay? So now all you do is you pour a little bit of alcohol, maybe a quarter of a cup. That might even be too much, but just a small amount of this 91% or this methanol or other forms of alcohol that's on the other video into this this roll of toilet paper, which is inside the can. Now, you can actually, and then you light, and it's not, the nice thing about alcohol is it's not explosive. It, you know, with a lot, you'll see it whoo, like that, but it's not like a gasoline, which will, it'll just explode. Alcohol is a slower burning, and it's not as hot as, it will not burn as hot as gasoline, for sure, or as kerosene. Kerosene burns very hot. So with this burning, now you can actually put a pan over the top of that. Now, you can't set the pan right on top of the can because it will smother it. It has to have oxygen to burn. So what you have to do is maybe put a trivet over the top of the can. A trivet is a little, like a round to set a pan on. It holds it up a couple inches. You can get some small trivets or you can get a can. Or my favorite, everyone should have one of these things in their storage, in their fuel environment, is a fire starter. Just one of those charcoal briquette fire starters. Get the cheap one, the real cheap ones. They cost $10 or $12. You don't need one of these expensive $25 fire starter things. What that does is the fire starter allows air to come up through the bottom because they'll have holes in the bottom. I can drop, before I light it, I can drop that can into this fire starter, and now that gives me a little platform, because the can will be below the surface, the top of the surface. It'll give me a little platform to put that can in. Now, what I like to do is I'll get a roll of tin foil or aluminum foil, and just take some, maybe a 1 foot square of that, and just roll it up into a little tube, and you make two of these, and you set that tube, or those little tubes lengthwise, over the top of your fire starter. Now what that's doing, and then you can set your pan. All that does is it gives it so that the air has a way to come out of that fire starter, okay? But it also holds the pan high enough off the flame, and that tube up from the fire starter pulls the flame and the temperature directly up into the bottom of the pan. Fuel efficiency. You want your fuel, the heat of your fuel, to be burning directly on the bottom of your pan. Okay? If you're concerned about the soot, if you just take a bar of soap and soap the bottom of your pan before you start cooking with it, when you're done, you can wash that soot right off. You'll never even see it. Okay? So it's just a couple tricks.
Brilliant. Yeah.
It works, and the nice thing, that little tiny stove, which costs you maybe, what, $1, can heat up, can boil water within a minute or two, okay? A pan of maybe a pint or 2 pints of water in a minute to 2 minutes, because it keeps the wind off of your flame, and you get as much of the heat efficiency out of your flame. That's the key. Let's now talk about that wood stove, again, using that same fire starter. If you take, and you'll see, you'll see me doing this on the videos, a wood, that 8-inch or 12-inch, I like 8-inch because it'll fit in the fire starter better. 12 inches, you might have to break some of the pieces of wood in two. But you take maybe a small hatchet or a knife. You'll see in those videos I talk about using a small knife, a fixed blade knife, not a pocket knife, something that you can really twist and stuff. So I'm kind of making an aside off the fuel. To me, having a high-quality fixed blade knife is a very, very important emergency tool. Not your kitchen knives. They're much thinner steel, and I can break the blade very easily with twisting in pieces of wood. But I can take, you know, a nice fixed blade knife, hunting knife type thing that has maybe maybe a millimeter and a half thickness of blade, and I can just use another small piece of wood and pound that, you know, put the knife over the top of the wood, then pound the blade right through that piece of wood and start making little chips, or not chips, but slices of this wood, okay? Then with maybe a small piece of paper, if I haven't made it small enough, I can light underneath that fire starter, and that now will light all of that 12-inch or 8-inch slices of wood. Now I can use that same type of tin foil or aluminum foil over the top of my thing, put my pan on top of my fire starter, and with that wood, that 8-inch piece of wood is enough to be boiling the water or whatever, your pot of food. I can put a pot of food on there, maybe a stew or something that I cooked or that I want to cook, and I can get that boiling for several minutes, 8-10 minutes, until that wood is completely consumed. And then I take that pot and I put it into an insulated box. I call it a hay box. I believe that's also in that video, in one of the videos on there that talks about the hay box. A hay box is just an insulated box that you're just essentially making a crock pot. But once you put it in this insulated box and put the lid on top of this, and then let that pot that has been boiling for 3 or 4 minutes, put that in there. That insulated box will keep that up above 160 degrees. It has to stay above 160 degrees for hours. And I'm not sure if it's in that series or not, but I will try to get that up into that series. On my website, there's another one called Cooking in the Hay Box. It's not in the video section. It's go to pazumpa.com and look for it's called Cooking with a Hay Box. Just search the website. I can't remember exactly where it's at. But what that allows, it shows you how to make one of these hay boxes and how to cook in there. And we actually show you, we took a big roast with potatoes and potatoes and carrots and onions, and I put that in, and I went, I boiled it. I boiled the water for, 6 or 8 minutes, whatever the number of minutes was, and I put it in this hay box, put the top on, sealed it, you know, tied it up like it's supposed to be, and then I went, we were gone for 3 or 4 hours. We went to church during that day. I came back, and we pulled that out, and we had a perfect roast with potatoes and gravy. Very full meal. On how much wood? an 8 or 12 inch piece of wood. It can be done, and it can be done every day. I can cook chili.
Hey, Aaron?
All of these things, yes.
We need to take a quick commercial break, and we come back. We actually will continue. If you're listening to us or have just tuned in, today is the first Monday of the month, which is the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley, and today we're talking about alternative fuels. So we'll be back right after this short break.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
No, it's not Super Chicken, it's just the Chicken Whisperer and my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, and today's special guest, the first and third Monday of every month, the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley. And today we're talking about alternative fuels for both cooking and heating and ways to store them. So, Aaron, we've got about really 3 minutes. If there's a couple of things you want to kind of wrap up, finish up, any last-minute topics for about 3 minutes left?
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed this. Just remind everybody, there are several videos that has just a lot more information on Pazumpa.com, pazumpa.com/video. Some of them are on our main website, pazumpa.com, and you just look, click some of the links that are up there. But it will have so much more information than what I've been able to give in here. But I did want to introduce, I know you mentioned this earlier at the beginning of the session, Jane Jensen with the Living Garden. It's Living Garden series with Jane Jensen is coming on next week. Jane and I have actually produced the Living Garden series, and she is just a remarkable gardener. She teaches me every time I walk in her garden or give her a call. She teaches me so much. My garden has just excelled this year, where, of course, the weather hasn't helped us a whole lot this year, but it's just doing very well. But we have produced a series that you might want to look at or get before she comes on Wednesday at this same time, it's noon Eastern time. It's if you go to Living Garden Series, S-E-R-I-E-S, livinggardenseries.com, we sell that, and it's just loaded with the Living Garden content that Jane will be doing, but of course she'll be answering questions while we're online, but it's a very good series. So we wanted to introduce that to you before Wednesday, and if you want to take advantage of that. But we're looking forward over the next few months to be doing a lot more topics, alternative fuel. Well, we just did that. Year-round greenhouses, expedient shelters, nuclear threats, medical preparedness, a number of different topics like that. So we look forward to having you on the first and third Monday of each month.
That's great. We are all looking forward to it as well, and we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. We'll have to see if we're going to have a show that week. I know that we're taking, Pat and I are taking a week off in July. I'll have to look at my schedule a little closer and let you know, but I don't think it affects your second show, but we'll just have to see.
Well,
but what a great show today.
This month in July, I will be at a scout camp that week, but then we will start two per month in August.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense, and that makes my decision a lot easier. I don't have to look at my calendar. So, August starting our great fall programming, and we have so many great new shows coming on board, as well as our classic shows we've had over the last 12 months. So, looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us, Aaron. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you very much.
All righty. And, of course, I want to thank my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, for joining us today. So glad you could join us today, Pat. I know you got called into the pharmacy, but had time to come in, listen, and participate. So thank you very much. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow right here at 12 o'clock.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I got to tell you, Whisper, this was a wonderful show. In fact, interesting it came up today because I have a bunch of pallets. Old pallets that I was thinking about just chalking, I'll keep them for firewood. I mean, every pallet probably has about 2 weeks' worth of lunches in them if we use Aaron's suggestion. So I'm just going to pile them up in their back just in case I need some extra firewood.
That sounds like a plan. You never know. Pallets are great. I guess you just need to make sure they're not treated with anything. And I don't think pallets normally are, from what I've researched. I don't believe they are. So I think they're just the raw wood. So great. Yeah, keep them around. And you never know when you might need a pallet. I've got to go get some pallets from our local feed store because I have to build a pallet house for our goats. They're getting bigger. And
I'll
probably just have about a month or 6 weeks. But I'm going to build a pallet house for them. So maybe I'll try to document that video and put it on. Maybe I can put it on Mother Earth News and Grit Magazine's website.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Oh, we get some of those big wooden spools too, because they love those as a playground.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, they're just so versatile, and they're just made for goats, I think.
They love them. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in today. I hope you have a good holiday. I think today is the official observance of Independence Day. Hope you had a great weekend. If you're off today, I hope you enjoy it today. And we'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will, this afternoon, be working on posting all the information about the chicken coop contest and this article about arsenic in backyard chickens due to the feed. Maybe we'll have another special tomorrow about that. Thank you very much for tuning in. Pat, take it away.
Yeah, okay. Well, wonderful show. Thank you, Aaron Mackey, for talking to us about emergency preparedness. And, of course, thanks to the chat room chickeneers for clucking along, even though I wasn't able to participate. I'm sure it was quite lively. And, of course, Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together. Blessings to all, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.